Amen. But if you stick with it and you get in there and you hunker down and you start reading, you'll find a well springing up in the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers. Numbers is pretty dry too. But, man, if you can just stick in there with it, you'll get something. So we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 14 today. But I want to give you a little bit of, I want to talk a little bit about 13 before we get started. Now, in Leviticus chapter 13, the theme of Leviticus 13 is uncleanness of man and isolation. It's talking about leprosy, lepers, okay? The law of leprosy. How are they supposed to handle that and all that? But when we shift gears and come into chapter 14, the theme is a leper can be cleansed and he can be restored. Amen. Ain't you glad that God just don't push us away when we're dirty and leave us dirty? He gives us the opportunity to come back and be cleansed and be restored unto him. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. We're going to be in chapter 14 and we're going to start out. I'm telling you, if you do not read your Bible regularly, you are robbing yourself of a tremendous blessing. I don't know how many times I can say that, but it is the truth. And, you know, a lot of times we, as Christians, I know for me, for example, I got saved in July of 99. And I read my Bible for 10 years before I actually started studying my Bible. Listen, Paul said give attendance to reading, but he also said study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. So there's a balance. Reading is great, but listen, study the book. If you read across something and you don't understand it, ask God to show you. Ask God to teach you and show you, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our convictor, right? When I got saved, he convicted me of my condition. And then he's my convincer. He convinced me that where I was at was not where I want to be. Amen. I was in a bad shape. But he's my comforter as well. And he's my teacher. And you know, the problem is a lot of problems in the church today is because we're comfortable. And we don't need a comforter. Comfortable Christians do not need a comforter. Amen. God never said he wanted you to be comfortable. But he said if you was uncomfortable, he'd send you a comforter. Amen. There's going to be times that you need to be uncomfortable. Amen. And that wasn't even part of this message. Y'all got all that for free. Amen. But just talking about how the goodness of God, and there's a picture here in this cleansing of this leper is a picture of salvation. Okay. I'm going to bring that picture out. We're going to talk about that right there in a minute. I don't know if y'all even know what that even means. And what that even symbolized, but we're going to bring that out here. We're going to talk about it. I need to get started. I'm going to run out of time. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Oh, say, we're going to stop right here for a minute. So whenever they didn't have doctors. They didn't have doctors like we have doctors. We didn't have doctor's offices. So what they did is if they had something, they went to the priest. Amen. He was kind of a catch-all. He was a spiritual leader, doctor, everything. The priest is a type of Christ. Amen. So what happened was is when they would get a spot or something on their skin, they'd go to the priest, he'd look at it. And God gave him a distinct law how to deal with that in chapter 13. And they would, if it was leprosy, they'd shut them up for 7 days. They'd put them up 7 days. They wasn't allowed in the congregation. They wasn't allowed to go back to their house. They was out in a several house away from everybody else for 7 days. And then on that seventh day, the Levites, which were the servants of the priest, would go and get that feller out of the several house, bring him over here, and the priest would leave the camp and go to the leper, all right? So he would leave the camp and go to the leper. What is sin? It's a type of leprosy, right? Leprosy is a picture of sin. in the Bible. As a matter of fact, God, remember when Miriam and Aaron rose up against Moses about the Ethiopian woman? What happened to him? What happened to her? She got leprosy. She become leprous. White as snow is what he said, leprous. So she got separated. Well, anyway, so leprosy, I'm going to give you a definition of leprosy right quick. Or Hansen's disease. We know it as Hansen's disease. That's the politically correct way to say it. It's not politically correct nowadays to call somebody a leper, okay? But someone suffering from Hansen's disease, for all you woke people, just kidding. It is an infection caused by a slow-growing bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. Now, that comes from a redneck right there. It can affect the nerves, skin, eyes, and the lining of the nose. Now, like we said, it focuses on the flesh and the nervous system. Amen? That's what leprosy affects, okay? It's a bacterial infection. And up until in these days in the Bible, it was incurable. They didn't have a cure for leprosy. But in 1982, they found a cure. And it's like three different antibiotics in a cocktail every day for 6 months to a year, depending on how bad your case is. Amen? But we're talking about people right here that if you were a leper, you got a death sentence. It was a death sentence. If you were a leper in biblical days, back in these times, as a matter of fact, in the days of Elisha, Jesus said in Luke that there was none cured from leprosy except save Naaman the Syrian. Y'all remember the story about Naaman where he went to Elisha and he told him to go dip seven times in the Jordan and he had a hissy fit and didn't want to do it and he finally did it. Well, he was the only one cured. So pretty much it was a death sentence. So when they were cured from leprosy, which this guy right here, he's healed. The Bible says right there in verse 3, and if the leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. So this priest goes out of the camp to meet the leper in a place where it's a neutral zone, safe, so nobody else can get leprosy or whatever. And he looks at him and he says, it looks good to me. Then the priest said, okay, you got to have two birds, scarlet, cedar, and hyssop. All right. They get that. This is what happens next. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Okay, so there's two birds. And then there's some cedar wood. And there's some scarlet thread, hyssop. And what they do, he said, take that bird. And you're going to kill one of the birds. They're going to have a pot, like a pottery, a clay pot. And the living water, there's nothing special about that. It ain't something you can just sprinkle on somebody and they're going to live forever. What it was, it means fresh water. Running water. Running water. Not a stagnant old pond. You ever seen an old stagnant old pond? There ain't nothing lives in there except for corruption. All right, so living water. They took that earthen pot with fresh water in it, and then they killed the one bird. Now, some people say it was two sparrows. I don't know. As long as it was a clean bird, I don't think it really mattered. You couldn't use a hawk. You couldn't use two hawks. You couldn't use two buzzards. It had to be a clean bird, something that was clean through the ceremonial law of Moses, amen? So it was either two sparrows or two doves or two pigeons or something like that, okay? It don't even matter. All that matters is one of them had to die. One of them had to die, and the other one got to live, all right? So they did however they killed it, wring its head off, squeezed the blood out of it into that pot, that clay pot of living water, because you know what? Birds don't have much blood. It ain't like a lamb or a goat or whatever. So you got blood and living water in that pot. Then they take the living bird, cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet. Now, cedar wood represents durability or endurance, okay? And the hyssop is an antiseptic. It's a natural antiseptic. You can actually, they use it in you know, the Ricola cough drops? They use it in that. It's in there. And it's an expectorant. And it soothes your throat. It's got medicinal properties, okay? It's a cleanser. Hyssop is a cleanser. And then that scarlet thread represents sin. That scarlet thread that bird is tied, is bound by sin to that stick, to that wood, and to that hyssop. Okay? That live bird is bound to that. And then that priest takes that live bird, the scarlet and the hyssop, and he dips it down into that pot with the blood and the water in it. And the Bible says that he sprinkles it on the leper to be cleansed seven times. What does the number seven mean? Completion. Y'all are good students. Seven times. Seven times. Okay? Dip, splash. Dip, splash. Because a bird don't have much blood. They had to cut it with some water. Amen? This is just for cleansing. Now, let's look what it says right here. We're going to keep going. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose into the field. All right. Now, I don't know if y'all understand what's going on here, but this is a picture of your salvation. Amen. That is a picture of your salvation and my salvation. You see, the one bird had to die. And it's a type of Jesus. All this is a type of Jesus Christ. Do birds belong in earth vessels? Do they belong in clay's a pot? No. They belong in the heaven, don't they? They're flying around. That's where they belong. Jesus left heaven and took on a clay pot, amen. This is a clay. What are we made out of? Adam and Eve. Dust of the earth, amen. God breathed the life into them, right? Jesus left heaven, took on this fleshly body, this pot of clay, amen. And then he gave his life, just like that bird gave his life in that pot. And then the live bird was released. That's a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. But in order for that live bird to be released, what did the priest have to do? He had to dip him in blood, and he had to cut the cords of sin loose. Huh? And then he says, he takes the live bird and lets him loose. Amen? That is what Jesus done for you and he done for me. And if you just read through that, you would never, I mean, you'd never even look at it. You'd never even, I mean, okay, yes, cedar wood. And there's another ceremony over in Numbers 19 about the red heifer. Y'all ain't know anything about the red heifer without blemish and all that? Well, they took the whole heifer and they sacrificed her outside the camp and burned her, and then they took the same thing except they didn't have the bird. They had the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop. Pardon me. And once the cow was burning and turned to ashes, that cedar wood and that hyssop and that scarlet was thrown into the fire, added to that heifer. Okay, and that was for the water of purification of sin. That's what that was. But see, here's what the thing is. See, all that represents something different in this ceremony than it does in that ceremony. That ceremony, that cedar wood means the pride of man. The sin is still the cord. And the hyssop is self-righteousness. Remember, in this ceremony, the hyssop is for cleansing. Well, what that picture is taking man in that bundle, that purification, and throwing everything that he thinks is good about him into the fire, because that's where sin ends up, in the fire. One of these days, it's all going to burn. Listen, if you're sitting here today and you have rejected Christ as your Savior, you will pay for your sin, and it will be in fire. Sin is always judged by fire. Always judged by fire. Now, we're going to continue reading there because there's something else I want to get into right here. Let me say another thing right quick about this leprosy. Did you know that leprosy is a problem in the United States now? Did you know that? It's actually in the United States. I was doing a study on this whole thing, and I was just looking up facts and stuff about leprosy, the symptoms and stuff. And where do you think, if you was going to pick a city in the United States to where you thought would be the biggest problem for leprosy, where would it be? Las Vegas, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Florida. It's exactly Florida. It's exactly Florida. It's exactly Brevard County, Florida, as a matter of fact. It has the highest concentration of documented leprosy cases in the United States. And all the doctors and all the scientists and all the people that think they know everything have no idea why it's there. They have no idea why it would be in that spot. 80% of the cases in Florida is in Brevard County. Now, I have my own opinion, and you may not like it, okay? But that's fine. That's fine. It's not Los Angeles. What's in Los Angeles? Hollywood. It's not there. It's not Las Vegas. That's Sin City. What's the biggest attraction in the center of Florida? Listen, the devil ain't after you. He's after your youngins. He is after your youngins. Listen, I'm not telling you not to take your kids to Disney World. But don't be surprised when you show up when there's a man dressed like a princess down there. Amen. They are after your youngins. And they will tell you they are after your youngins. And God judges that mess. And I'm telling you right now, in my opinion, there is no other reason that the highest concentration of leprosy in the United States of America is in Brevard County, Florida. Because they pushing that trash. If you look at the Disney stuff from, this is extra, okay? I'm just telling you. You look at the stuff, it started in the 90s. It started in the 90s. Everything pre-90 is good. Everything after 1990 until now is pure trash. Every bit of it's pure trash. It's got sexual innuendo in it. It's got all kinds of stuff. Subliminal messages. Look, if you want to go to Walt Disney, you go down there and get leprosy. I ain't going. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it. You know, I just ain't doing it. I've been twice. The only thing I left down there is a couple grand. You know what I mean? I don't need to go there. That's extra, okay? We're going to continue now. I'm done ranting. I'm done ranting about that. But you think about that. You think about it. Leprosy is almost zero in Las Vegas. It's almost zero in Los Angeles. And it's 80% of it is in Florida, in Central Florida. Listen, Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not. And he also said, listen to this. I'm going to show you something. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 18. Let me look at that. There we go. I got time. I got time for this. It's just extra. You'll like it. Let's go to 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God's serious about that business. And that ain't the only time he mentioned it. He mentioned it in Mark chapter 9, 42, and he mentioned it in Luke 17, 2. Basically the same thing. Listen, Bible says, lo, children are heritage of the Lord. You go messing with them. Oh, and another thing, human trafficking. Florida, number 3. Would you want to guess where the 2 biggest cities are? Orlando, Miami. 2 biggest cities for human trafficking. Listen, I'm telling you, God's going to judge this. God's going to judge it. Amen. That's, I'll tell you, it's all tied in. It's all tied in. But let's continue. And he that is cleansed, verse 8, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all of his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So once the priest says he's clean and they go through that ritual cleansing, he's to go for 7 more days. He can go back into the camp, but he can't stay in his house. And during them 7 days, he has to shave all of his hair and wash himself and all that. Then right here, 7 days, number of completion, right? And on the 8th day, verse 10, he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. So on the 8th day, he gets his sacrifice for his purification. He's cleansed, but listen, that was just preliminary. This is right here is going to seal the deal, all right, what we're talking about here. 8th day. Anybody want know what 8 means in the Bible? 8. 7 is the number of completion. So if you're completing something on the 7th day, what would the next day be? New beginnings, all right? 8 means new beginnings. So we're fixing to have a new beginning right here, amen? Anybody ever had a new beginning? Amen, I have, sure have. And the priest, number 11, and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of congregation. So that priest right there is the type of Jesus. The only priest that can make us clean is Jesus Christ, amen? He's the high priest nowadays and forevermore, amen? He's the high priest. But this guy right here is just the high priest of the time. And he's going to make him clean through the offering of that sacrifice of those lambs and ewes and stuff. But this is the type of Jesus Christ. If you look over in 1 John 1 through 6, 1, 6 through 9, I was going to read that, but I'm going to save it. I got something else here. But it talks about the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. The priest that makes us clean is Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at verse 12. And the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and offer and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, and for the sin offering is the priest. So it is the trespass offering is most holy. Now, look here. Pay real close attention right here. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot. Okay. This right here is where business picks up, boys. I'm telling you right now. That priest kills that lamb. And they sacrifice that lamb and they drain that blood into a brass bowl, a basin. And then that guy's standing there. He's gonna be purified. That priest takes his finger He dips that blood on that lamb on his finger. And the Bible says he sprinkles it 7 times to the Lord. Number of completion, right? 7 times. He does it 7 times. And then he takes that blood and he puts it on the top of his right ear, dips, right thumb, right big toe. You're like, what in the world does that even mean? All right, we're going to get to that. We're going to keep reading. I'm going to break it down for you here in a minute. And verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into his palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. Okay, same thing. He takes this olive oil and he pours it in his own left hand, sprinkles it 7 times to the Lord. Then he takes that oil and puts it on top of that blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe, big toe. All right. Now here's what we're looking at. The blood that was applied is for his justification. All right? The blood that was applied to his right ear, thumb, and toe was for justification. The oil that is applied to his ear, toe, fingers, whatever, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm at. I've been saying it for 5 minutes. All that, the oil goes on the top of that. The problem with the church or Christians today is they try to get the oil without the blood. That's exactly what the problem is today with people that say they're Christians. They're all about service. They're all about doing this and all about doing good, but they don't have the blood. They're not justified. That word justified, you can break it down like this. Justified, never sinned. When you get justified, God no longer sees Ernie's sin or Terry's sin. He sees Jesus' righteousness. He no longer sees Ernie's sin and everything he's done and everything that he will do. He don't see that no more because he's been justified. He's been released from that sin. And that's the problem with a lot of people today that say they're Christians is they try to get the oil, which is for sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart for service, holy service, for serving the Lord, doing God's will, and doing the work of God. Amen? That's what that's for. And I think that's why a lot of churches are upside down, is because they want the oil and they think they got it, but they got to have the, you can't get the oil without the blood. It's impossible to get the Holy Spirit without the Spirit giver, amen? Without the blood of the sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, is what the Bible says. So you have to have the blood before you can get the oil. And you know what's so great about this picture? This is what Jesus does for us. That's what he did for us. He put the blood. We're under the blood. And when we got justified, then he put the oil on there. We got sanctified. We're set apart for him. And you know what? They're treating this leper that's been cleansed just like a priest. Go look at chapter 8 of Leviticus when you get a chance. It's the same thing. The priest goes through the same thing. He gets the blood on his ears and his toes, his fingers and his toes, and oil and everything. It's just, he treats a leper that's just been cleansed just like a priest. Amen. We got a gracious God. Amen. So, the ear, the thumb, and the big toe. They anointed the right ear for the hearing of God's word. The right thumb was for the doing of God's work. Do more work with your hands than you do your feet, don't you? I mean, you might walk, you might run, but the work is with your hands. Amen? And then the right big toe is for the walking in the Spirit and the will of God. And then that ain't the end of it. That ain't the end of it. Hold on right here. Verse 17. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip. Hold on. I'm in the wrong one. I'm going to go ahead and read that. And the rest of the oil that is in his right hand, the priest shall put on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. Remember, we talked about the oil going on that blood. Verse 18, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Now, I don't know if you just understand that right there. So he justified him and sanctified him. What did God tell Samuel to do when he anointed Saul as king of Israel? Anoint him. What'd he do? Poured oil on his head, didn't he? Poured the oil on his head. Same thing with David. The oil got poured on his head. So not only did he treat that leper like a priest, but he turns around and puts that oil, the rest of the remaining of that oil, on the top of his head, and he anoints him. He anoints him with that oil. And that's acceptance. That's acceptance. God's accepting him. Amen? He's accepting him. And he's also, when he does that, that's assurance. What's the Bible say over in Ephesians? It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. He sealed him. He sealed him. If you're here today and you're born again, you're sealed until the day of redemption. We got people here at Can, right? Can? My grandma used to can like crazy. She canned everything. But you know, after that thing goes, that jar gets in that pressure cooker, and it cooks for however long, and they let it cool down and pull it out, and they set them things up there, you hear that thing go. That thing seals, right? At that moment, what's in that jar is preserved. It's preserved. It's not going to go bad. It's preserved. That's the same thing that happens to you when you get born again. When that oil is applied, that blood's applied, and that oil's applied, and he accepts you as a child. Listen, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. So you've been accepted. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you're a royal priesthood. Amen. So let's act like it. Let's act like we're a royal priesthood. Because if you look at the church, the state of the church today, like we talked about, I'm going to be honest with you. If I wasn't saved and I worked with people that say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church all the time, and they acted the same way that I acted, if I don't need what they got, because what I got is exactly what they got. You know what I mean? So listen, we're supposed to be a light. We're supposed to be a light that shines in the darkness. Amen. So did anybody get anything out of that? I hope somebody did. But look for stuff like that. Look for that stuff in your Bible. Take time to study it. Amen. It's worth studying. It's precious. Hey, you know that book right there? I was thinking about this. Matter of fact, I was thinking about it this morning. Now, if you knew, I live in Hidden Knot where them emeralds is at. I mean, right there. Matter of fact, I talked to the guy on the mine the other day, and he said he's done found a couple $1 million worth of emeralds down there. All right? Now, if you knew that there was treasure in your yard, you'd be digging it up, wouldn't you? Would you not be digging it up? Come on. If you knew there was a 500-carat emerald in your backyard, you'd find you an excavator right quick. You'd be looking. Look, it's right here. There's treasure. Treasure. All through it. But you got to dig. You got to dig it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to teach. Ask you, Lord, to bless the remainder of the service. I think Brother Brandon may be preaching. And Lord, I ask you to bless him, and I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way. Bless the choir as we sing for you. Bless each and every individual, every family that's represented here today. I ask you, Lord, to work work in our hearts. Help us to be better for you. Lord, I pray that you be magnified today. I ask you to continue to use me. I pray that these folks would be encouraged and challenged to get in the book. And we just thank you for everything that you do. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.